B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It's the 4 o'clock hour, and the 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. We'll touch base with the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, Tim McManus, in about 10 minutes. Until we get there, let's get back to the phones with Tom in Aston. Tom, what's up with Tom Brady, man?
All right. First of all, I didn't listen at the beginning of the show. I had logged on, but I heard the poll. And after hearing the poll, I have to agree with Tyrone. This is Tom Brady's job. So he has to be at OTAs. I know how everything is going on because of the virus, but this is part of his job. So Giselle, the kids, you got to suck it up.
Well, this was before the virus hit. Last year.
It's part of his job. He got to go.
Yeah, but there are different circumstances here, right? And you can't look at Tom Brady like he's just your average football player. Am I right?
I agree with that.
All right, so no, A, he's the best ever played. B, he's 43.
I agree with that.
And C, he's married to a probably high maintenance Brazilian supermodel, right? It changes the landscape of what you like. It's easy to sit here and go, not the right thing to do. Of course, the right thing to do is to go to OTAs. But for a guy he's in a different category.
No, and I hear you. But here's the thing. All right, if the quarterback is supposed to be the leader of the team, if he's setting an example, I don't care if he's been in the league 5 years, 10 years, or like him 20 years. He's the leader of the team, and then also he's like with a new organization and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So he sets the precedent. So let him go out there, do his job. We know he's not going to work hard. Quarterbacks in general, when it comes down to the OTA, it's really about them learning the nuances of the offense, trying to click and gel with other players, his receivers, his backs, and all that other stuff. So it's not like he's going to be overexerting himself, but he has to be out there. He's the leader.
Bro, you're preaching to the choir. You're on the right side, but you're missing the point. You're missing that the circumstances are not the same for that dude. They're not the same. You're applying the everyday standard to this situation, and the everyday standard doesn't apply to him.
Okay, why?
He's almost above the game. Second of all, it's not easy to be married to her. You know, you're talking a national type of wife that you have here. So what you're trying you're trying to avoid any kind of conflict because it's not worth it at your age and at your accomplishment level.
No, and I agree with you. I agree with that point. But for him and also for Giselle, they knew what they were getting into when they got married. So if he knew he was marrying somebody, she's this big-time model, she's known throughout the world, and he had to know beforehand that she's high maintenance. So he knew he was going to have to deal with that stuff, especially when they had kids. And then vice versa for her, is when they got married, he was already a pretty decent quarterback, and he became great. So going into it, she knew that what his job was, what his profession was, and what was required. So if that's the case, you got to suck it up and just deal with it.
You actually think that she knows what's required, that she cares what's required?
She probably doesn't.
She's been through it how many years? It's like, okay, now it's time for me. I put up with this for how many years? Like 12 years. Now I got my say in here. I'm flexing. And he's got no choice. What's he going to do? He's going to fight it? Come on.
I agree. One other thing, real quick. You were talking about the infamous murders in Philadelphia, and you brought up Gary Heinick and Marty Graham. If you remember, with Gary Heinick, his story kind of led the way to the whole Silence of the Lambs movie, because I think either the producer or the director, one of them, looked at that story. And that's how they kind of got the premise for the movie.
Silence of the Lambs was a book, wasn't it?
3 years later.
Silence of the Lambs a book that they turned into a movie? No?
Not sure.
I think it was. It might have been a book.
So she started pulling this 7 years into the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that 7 year itch. She must have decided something. There has to be something to that. Because for the first 7 years, he's allowed to go to OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when their first child was about, he's 11 now.
Uh-huh.
Or he'll be 11, so it was when he's about 3 years old.
Yeah.
There has to be some sort of correlation with her starting to act like that and the kid getting older.
The correlation doesn't matter.
He can't. Well, why was it okay for him to go to work for 7 years?
You're putting in all these variables.
Why was it okay for him to go to work for 7 years of a marriage?
Because
and
she,
then all of a sudden she decides no more going to work.
Because she said so. That's why.
No, there
but that means she is selfish, though.
Of course she is.
All right.
She's a Brazilian supermodel. What do you think? She's like Clara Barton?
There has to be models. There has to be models that aren't selfish.
Look,
your job doesn't automatically make you selfish.
I think I'm going to volunteer into the soup kitchen. What do you think she's at?
Wait, listen. All right. This is how I'm breaking it down. She wanted him to change something just because she wanted something to change. So he like looked at his list of all of his Tom Brady activities and he was like, OTAs is the one that I can throw out and it'll keep her happy. He's going, honey, look, I'm giving up OTAs. When in reality, it's kind of, it's like not that big of a deal. But perhaps she's not exactly, in the know to understand that. So she thinks that that's a fine compromise. When the rest of us are like, really?
She wouldn't understand
that's a good point.
The regimen of the responsibilities of a quarterback in the NFL. She's looking into Giselle world.
I'm into Natalie's theory.
I'm telling you.
Because the last 10 years were that same CBA. So you talking about eight?
She finally got tired of it.
Of 8 days,
she
there's no way
she can.
No, I go with Natalie. She was mad at Tom. Period. And then he decided to give her these 8 days.
He's like,
that's all it is 8 days.
He's not giving up TB12.
Right. He's not giving it right. He's not giving up all the other business.
Electrolyte packets.
Yeah, he's not giving that up. So he says, okay, I'll throw you these 8 days. It's like a pat on the head. And she doesn't know enough about the game to know that it's a pat on the head.
Yep.
She better start watching more football. Because Tom might have
catch the ball and throw the ball at the same time.
Tom might have played her. Now the way Nat played it out.
That's how I'm looking at
Tom
it.
Tom played her.
Yeah, by the way, when I did that Spanish thing, what did I tell you was going to happen?
People are going to be mad. Because it was Portuguese.
Yeah. Sure enough, here it is. Tyrone, great show. Tell Mike that the language spoken in Brazil is Portuguese, not Spanish. Sorry if you're watching. I know that. I'm just doing it for effect. All right? I'm trying to do the character of an angry Latino woman.
Yes. Right. It's the one you can best deliver.
Right. I don't know Portuguese. I'm sorry.
You study Spanish. Right. It's the one you can best deliver.
Exactly. All right. So let's go back to Sly in West Philly. What's up, Sly?
Mikey, what's going on?
What's going on, Sly? How you been?
I've been all right. One of the things I wanted to talk about with this Gary Heinick thing and all these cases that they've had a bunch of them on investigation ID in the Philadelphia area.
Yes.
But one thing about him was he was the last person executed on Pennsylvania's death row.
You're absolutely right about that. I forgot that he was executed.
Yeah, he was executed.
Yes.
I have a hypothetical about Tom Brady. Does he do the same thing if he was married to Bridget Moynihan, his first baby's mother?
I don't know. Maybe Bridget's a little, she's American, so maybe she understands it a little bit. She wasn't a supermodel; she's an American actress.
Yeah,
so
but I would think she has a nice career. She's an actress.
You're talking a supermodel is a different type of character altogether.
I hear you. No, what Mike? Another thing I wanted to tell you. Last time I saw you, it's one of the things I miss during this pandemic thing. Last time I saw you, didn't see me. Was at my favorite Chinese restaurant on Lancaster Avenue, that little diner-looking restaurant.
Oh, the China Diner?
Yeah, that I've been going there for over 20-something
Chung
years.
Chung Sing.
I missed that place.
Uh-huh.
But I was sitting down. You just came in real quick.
Oh, you should have yelled at me.
Well, by the time I noticed you, you picked up your food.
Oh, right? Really? I was in and out? Oh, all right.
Yeah, but that's my spot, man. I missed that spot.
You're not around in the area anymore?
No, I am, but they're closed.
Okay. I thought you moved out of there.
No, I'm there all the time. I told you, that's the last time I saw you, and it was right before they actually, everything closed down.
Can you get takeout there?
Every time I'm going by there, they've been closed. I haven't seen them open.
Oh, that's interesting.
Unless you went by there.
No, I haven't been there in a while. But I thought everybody was doing the takeout thing.
Every time
I'm going Chinese
by
restaurant,
there, the lights out. They're not open.
Huh.
Right, you know what I mean? Because it was a good sit-down spot.
It is a cool little spot. Yeah.
Because you sat down, you got a lot more food.
You sat down, you got a lot of tea, a little tea they bring.
I used to always get their special. It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. Every now and then, there's certain things you miss, and that's one of the things I actually
do. I got you, Sly.
Yeah. Take care.
All right, man. Good talking to you.
All right, you too.
All right, we have an NFL draft coming up. We've seen some mock drafts, and the mock draft that Todd McShay had actually had the Eagles taking a linebacker, which I don't think will happen, but we'll see from our next guest who covers the team for ESPN.com. Draft's coming up. Tim McManus joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Timmy!
What's going on, Mike? Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah had a linebacker going to the Eagles as well in his latest mock
draft. First of all, explain this to me.
I think they're probably looking at the value there of those respective players, but I'd be surprised if they went linebacker. I mean, we've seen what their history is and how they kind of treat the position and the value marker that they put at it. We know the needs that they have at wide receiver and other spots, and I know that I'd be surprised, and I think there'd be a lot of people surprised internally as well.
I'm shocked because this is coming from guys who are supposedly, you know, plugged in. And I can't imagine they wouldn't know that the Eagles don't value linebackers, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, Jeremiah certainly, he works with the Eagles, and he's very, very plugged in. So at least put your eyebrows out and up, and you don't dismiss it. That's just kind of not where my head's at.
Okay, let's talk about the mechanism of the draft and the dry runs they're going through and all these the big controversy. Do you have to have an IT person there, and is it irresponsible to have an IT person there? And then when you're cordoning off from everybody, well, what's your take on this whole thing?
I think that you're seeing some of the anxiety kind of leak out about what these general managers and personnel people and coaches are dealing with as they approach an unprecedented draft. And some of that you see with, are people going to hack in and how is the IT going to work? I mean, are we going to go offline when we're on the clock? Like, what's this all going to look like? And I think that type of anxiety and apprehension is totally normal. At the same time, you know, there is different software, like the Eagles, and I would imagine other teams are using something called Microsoft Teams, which is supposed to have security kind of built into it, and is a way that you can teleconference and chat sort of seamlessly that they'll be able to use throughout the draft. And really, I mean, you look at it big picture, and this is a small problem to have that everyone is dealing with changes. Everybody is having to work remotely. Everybody is having different issues that come up with their respective jobs and certainly in their respective lives. So while I understand the apprehension, I think, you know, they can work some of these kinks out and certainly get through a draft. There's more important things out there. And, you know, there's definitely ways to make this happen without having to get too worked up about it.
I get the security software and all that. Do you know how many eggheads are out there right now trying to crack this? Like, especially with all this time on their hands, they can't go out. They're in a room with 17 computers trying to figure this out to crack in here.
No question. No doubt. I mean, I think, yeah, it's a total wild card in this thing. And, and we know that the NFL is like paranoid by nature.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want anything getting out. And for them to be feeling kind of exposed on the interwebs, I'm sure is not a good feeling for them. But, you know, they all have very good IT staff, and the Eagles is very well respected, and I'm sure they'll be putting in plenty of safeguards.
All right, that's the go a step further here, because they also have a big analytics team. Like, I don't know
whether
it's the best in the league or the biggest in the league, but they put a lot of stock into that, and I got to think that's going to come into play here with the chance to work them out individually or to eyeball them. Is this going to be the big analytics draft that we see?
You know what? I mean, I think that the way that it will impact it is they are, you're right, an analytics team. What they like to have is kind of the traditional scouting and then real heavy research on the analytics end. And when they feel comfortable is when those two things marry up, when what they see with their eyes, what the scouts see with their eyes, equals what the numbers are telling them and the projections say. And without having the data in some circumstances for players, whether it's because they went to a small school and they didn't participate or they didn't participate in the combine, those types of deals, they don't have some of the data that they like to have. And that's the analytics part, which means that that they'll probably trend towards players that they have both kind of sets on, both the data and the eye. And that means bigger school prospects. That means guys that participated in bowl games. That means guys that participated at the combine. I think that you're going to see a sharp increase of guys that fit that bill getting drafted as opposed to some of these smaller school players or guys that weren't able to perform in front of these guys.
We're talking to Tim Kamanis. He covers Eagles for ESPN.com. All right, Tim. So in a situation like this linebacker thing has got me a little worried, because if that's the highest player on their board and they take him, are they saying that? Because he did say this, the general manager. He said, we like our wide receivers. Could they possibly be saying, we like our wide receivers enough because we look at Wentz like Reed used to look at McNabb and say he could do anything with anybody? Or do you sense they really need to, they think they really need to improve that position?
No, I think they believe they really need to improve it. I mean, Howard Roseman said, yeah, we're bigger on our receivers than the outside world is. And maybe there is some truth to that. But that shouldn't be mistaken for they're not going to be addressing the receiver position in the draft. I think that they absolutely are. And I think that wide receiver, I would still put the odds on them going after a receiver early here and probably in the first round. You know, something that's interesting to me, though, Mike, is like I'm trying to find the right sort of slot for them and fit for them with wide receivers in the first round, because you have the top three guys, Judy and CeeDee Lamb and Ruggs, that are all expected to go off the board before the Eagles get it on the clock at 21 overall. And I think that if they go early, then there's going to be teams that are hungry for a wide receiver that are going to start getting antsy. Mm-hmm. And they also know that the Eagles are going after a wide receiver. And so is it possible that somebody like Jefferson, who would be the number four guy, goes off the board even before they're on the clock at 21? That would leave kind of this, put them in an odd place in terms of wide receiver value, because then you're talking about the next group of wide receivers, whether it's Mims or whether it's Jalen Reagor or whether it's Hamler or whether it's Brandon Ayuk. Those guys are kind of supposed to go after 21 and before the Eagles get back on the clock on 53. And so it presents this question of, where exactly are they going to get their receiver at? And it's kind of putting the seed in my mind that maybe a trade is the answer here, whether it's to move up, to get somebody like a Ruggs, or maybe to ensure that you get Jefferson if it's a small trade, or a trade back, a slight trade back where you get more into the range of this next clump of wide receivers. And so that's kind of the things I've been flirting with, is where I don't know if there's going to be a natural selection at 21 for the Eagles at wide receiver.
Well, that would really disappoint the fan base if they traded back and took the second level, because that pressure on that kid would have to be overwhelming.
No doubt. Yeah.
And if they come up with Jalen Reagor and they trade back and they take him, well, there's a bullseye on that kid.
Yeah, and I think that the Eagles have put themselves in a situation currently with not addressing it in free agency, where, it does put extra pressure and it puts more pressure on them to make sure that they get a guy that can come in and contribute. Mm-hmm. So wide receiver, with those things considered, wide receiver might not be a lock for round one. I mean, if they're not active and there isn't a natural fit at 21, mm-hmm. Do they look at a pass rusher? I wouldn't look at linebacker, but if Chaisson is there, we've seen Howie Roseman every year, with the exception of the year he took Wentz, that he's taken a lineman, offensive or defensive lineman. I think edge rush is still a priority here.
Yeah.
I mean, what if Chaisson's available? So, there are some different variables at play here.
All right. We'll have to wait and see. The pressure's on here. This draft is it's a very weird time to be concentrating on an NFL draft. But it's going to go on, and we'll see how it works.
Virtual style.
It's, yes.
It's going to be a little crazy.
Right.
But I think it'll be a good distraction.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike.
There he is. Tim Kamanis, Comcast Business Hotline. beyond fast. 610-632-0975. Let's go out to Marlton with James. What's up, James?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Let me get off speaker. Hold on. All right. Hopefully I'm not too sober to be on the show. Some of these last couple callers you have on here, man, holy cow. I guess people are just home getting tuned up. But my second point is you keep mentioning Giselle, and this is a supermodel, correct?
Yes.
And she's, with all this money. And then, tell me exactly, maybe I'm missing something. How is this different, the fact that she's a supermodel and famous? How is she different than anybody else's wife at home, nagging them about OTAs and I'm going through this? Cause
well, she's used to being fawned over. I mean, obviously, her whole life has been, she's been fawned over because of her beauty. She's paid handsomely. She's not very humble. It's almost impossible to be humble when you're a supermodel, isn't it?
Well, she should be. I mean, she's just like anybody else. How is she different than anybody else's wife?
I just explained it to you how she's different than anybody else's wife. Well, you don't get to, like, how a supermodel's personality can be different because she's judged by her beauty on an everyday basis and worshipped because of her beauty. And, like, you don't think that changes a personality?
So you're exemplifying is part of the problem.
I'm doing what?
You're exemplifying it is part of the problem.
Hey, I'm just reflecting on what it is. I'm not on my head in the sand. What are you kidding me? What, you're making the point that what's different from her than, like, say, Betty Crocker at home?
Right. Who cares what she says? Why is what she says more?
Listen, man, I don't know what world you live in, but the supermodel gets her attention from being fawned over for her beauty, which would lead to
a
certain.
Of a butter face anyway.
She has a what?
She got a little bit of a butter face anyway. To be honest with you, I mean.
James, did you want to set the tone for a better call? Is that what you started out here? Your call's idiotic.
I'm just asking you, why would she say so?
I explained it to you five different times. Are you not getting it? Do you think the attitude of Giselle as a supermodel from...
I'm taking a feminist approach here, and
you're being ridiculous. I mean, come on.
There are people echoing that on social media. They're asking why, what her being a supermodel has to do with
it. Are you kidding me? It's like the most fundamental thing you can think of on why a supermodel is the way they are. But
they're saying that you're stereotyping.
Of course I'm stereotyping. But I happen to be 100% true.
No, I don't even think it's just about her being a supermodel. I think it's both their status together.
Well, her status as a supermodel has given her supreme stardom.
And big cash.
Big
cash, more than him.
Exactly. So therefore, the standards that they live by are different than the average person. Your supermodel's going to be walking around the house with a gingham apron.
Now, the ones that give it up.
All due respect. Like the gingham apron women.
That give it up, like Linda Evangelista. She gave it up. Apparently, she likes doing that home stuff.
And it looks like Kate Upton is kind of humble, but she married a baseball star, makes $1 zillion. They're in a different world.
Yeah, I'm no fan of her.
Kate Upton?
Oh. Yeah.
What's wrong with Kate Upton?
Well,
it has nothing to do with her looks. It's just I don't like Kate Upton. Doesn't matter why.
Listen. The fact of the matter is, if you're a supermodel, you get used to being fawned over. She has been fawned over for 25 years, this woman.
No, you're
like at the top of her profession. I told you a story as she walked into the wedding. Didn't I tell you that story?
Yeah.
Yes.
She didn't want to take away the focus of the bride and groom. That's what they think highly of themselves because they are fawned over for their beauty, and it changes a personality. I'm not telling anything new to people, am I?
No. And I bet you Tom's not a big fawner.
He's probably not a no. follower.
At this point, I bet she's like...
Maybe he's got his wife on the other end thinking that she's just as worthy as Giselle, and that's good that he should feel that way about his wife, but come on.
What I'm saying is I think he's probably at the point where he's not fawning 7 years in, and all of a sudden she starts throwing... getting mad at him about the OTAs or about giving... I believe completely, because no matter... I'm they say no matter how beautiful a woman is, there's some man tired of her. Like, that saying's there for a reason.
On that note, on the other side... You know, we're talking about the little things that may annoy you with your spouse if you're living in cloistered like this.
Uh-huh.
And little things will pop up eventually. I got a great email yesterday from a guy, a great example of that. All right, 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alright, so let's get a Twitter poll update. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Aganoff. Natalie?
Thank you very much, Mike. That is right. It is time for a Twitter poll update, and it has over 800 votes on it today. Do you think Tom Brady should have gone to OTAs regardless of what Giselle said? 48% say yes, 52% say no.
All right. Thank you. That
it's just making me laugh that we're like really fighting
funny.
About this.
It really is.
And people are furious at me.
They're so mad. Everybody's so mad. I mean, I know it's the quarantine and it's getting to all of us, but like,
there are people that used to like me that have turned on me.
We're squeezing blood. We're squeezing blood from rocks here, honestly.
Come on, people.
I had like the logical perspective on this.
You're mad at you, too.
Oh, really? You're mad at me. What did I say? It's been got
because
mad.
Because of the model thing.
Because you're judging that she's
judging
a supermodel.
That she's a model. And they're mad at me because I dare say a person should go to work.
Not every model is in that category. The biggest of the big. She is one of the biggest of the big.
She's the biggest. Agree?
Yeah, all right. She might be the biggest, right?
Of the last 20 years, I would say.
Worldwide, for sure.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
So I'm just saying, in human nature, when you're fawned over for your beard, like Cleopatra. Like, let's go way back, right? She made everybody's life miserable.
Causing wars.
Exactly. Because being judged by your beauty, it gives you like this sense of entitlement. And I'm just surmising from story that I heard directly from the person who witnessed it, that she has kind of an attitude about herself. And so you got to put that in the equation.
Do you think she'd be mad if she figures out that Tom actually pulled a fast one on her? Because he comes out of everything smelling like roses. You know that. And this is him being a good husband and all this stuff. And really,
well, you just
Tom,
hate him, don't you?
I see right through him. That's why.
That's right.
I see right through him, Mike. Move, I always have.
Actually, this shrewd move I started off not liking him. Maybe I'm liking him a little bit more for manipulating those 8 days into father of the year and husband of the year.
I'm telling you, that's how Tom Brady operates.
Pretty clutch.
He went to Bill and he's like, Bill, Giselle wants me to give up something. What do I do? And Bill's like, here's how we're going to cheat the system, because that's what the Patriots do.
Yeah. You know what? She'll think it's a big deal. Then I'll comment when they ask me about minicamp. I'll go, I'm coaching who's here. And that's what he would say. Rather than say it's okay, I'm just going to coach who's here. He was in cahoots.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they deflate balls and they get over on other people's wives.
But
that's
what
they do.
During the break, I had a little munchie. Right?
Yeah.
And I want to thank the people, first of all, from Dietz and Watson, but specifically from Anna's Corner Store on North Wales Road, East Norton, PA. I just had a chunk of an Italian hoagie with the bread being a kosher pickle.
I saw that.
Oh.
I saw that.
The kosher pickle is like dug out a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and it's got the prosciutto and the provolone and you know all the good meats in there, and the bread is a pickle.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea. It was fantastic.
It was a nice
thread. A lot of people say, well, the bread makes the hoagie. Yes. Well, that was pretty good. I've never seen anything like that. Anyway, Anna's Corner Store is a family-owned business for 9 years. Anna gained her experience from her father, Alfio, who, as a former restaurant owner, helped open up her business in partnership with her brother Richard. At its corner store is a Dietz and Watson Real Philly Deli that's building the idea that everything tastes and feels like home. And not only is At its corner store service top-notch, but the homemade quality food is offered at a fair price. At its corner store supports local business by selling locally made products like Dietz and Watson meats and artisan cheeses. So thank you to At its corner store and to Dietz and Watson. All right, so now we talked about Ira Einhorn a little earlier in the show. And of course, you know what the way my brain works. When you hear the word Einhorn, Tyrone, Natalie,
yes.
Does it remind you of anything?
Oh, it sure does.
What is it?
Finkel.
There it is!
Is Einhorn.
There it is.
Einhorn is Finkel.
Finkel and Einhorn. Einhorn and Finkel. That's excellent. That's
yeah.
That's cool. Tyrone, I think you got here?
No.
Oh, Ace Ventura, first one?
Yeah, I didn't.
Wait,
what?
He's trying to put, and then the dog hair goes on the, and he figures it out.
Yeah, I kissed a man.
To be honest with you,
he was up all night. Finkel and Einhorn, Einhorn and Finkel.
I actually didn't love the end of that movie.
Why?
Come on,
I didn't love the end of it. I liked it earlier. Stargate.
Randall Tex Cobb's in that movie.
Yeah, Randall. I like
the opening scene with the dog.
Yeah, he's good in most movies.
Yeah,
that he was in.
He was good.
Yeah.
Bobito in West Philly. Bobito, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up?
What's up, Mikey, man?
How you doing, Bobito?
All right, doing well, yeah. Let me take you off speaker here, sorry. Yeah, so I had
the thing about these morons about not knowing the supermodel gets different treatment. I don't understand that.
There might be some supermodels that are, like, not entitled, but, you know, this one is different, you know.
Well, I mean, some old fat Eagles fan thinks his wife is the same as this lady, he's out of his mind.
Well, she's also outspoken and kind of obnoxious with her Twitter things, and, you know, she thinks she's in. I mean, for the most part, she's not the real deal,
I think,
yeah.
About this Brady. There's no way she told Brady. That Brady just didn't want to do the OTAs. That's his excuse.
Well, you know, I think most people would actually appreciate the fact he didn't want to do it to the OTAs because he's Tom Brady, the best quarterback that ever lived,
exactly.
Right? But to me, it makes him look worse to admit this.
It does.
Right? So, like, I don't know what the truth is. Maybe it is the truth.
I think he's lying about that. I don't think so, yeah. I saw something yesterday. Some moron called in about watching NASCAR simulations. Is that really a thing?
Listen, that's all right. I mean, whatever you get entertainment out of.
I don't know. But,
that's
you know,
fine. I
don't
have any problem with anybody. When anybody's watching, you know, it could be fun for them. God bless them.
I'm waiting for the next Sixers. If Tyrone can look that up for me when they're playing any more Sixers game coming up. Tonight they got hockey on.
It's a hockey game.
Miz, I have one idea, okay?
I want
to bring this back up. Don't hang up on me yet, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The coat check idea. I thought out the logistics, all right?
Yeah, the coat check for the people in the ballpark.
The Wells Fargo, yeah.
Yeah.
So to say it's $5 or $10 a coat. That's the same price for beer. You know, I'd be willing to pay that. That pays, creates jobs. That's paying for the attendant. And then it'll help with the traffic flow. You get the first wave out, and then you get the coat check people out. You know, what's going on? Oh, come on. This is a great idea.
Bobito, what people want to hang around? Seriously, why would people want to hang around and let other people out first?
You don't want to sit in traffic anyway.
But then that's not what the average person doesn't think. That he doesn't want to hang in there for an hour or get his coat and then leave. He wants to get out of here. He thinks he's going to beat other people out.
It's going to take 5 minutes.
Bobito, it's a horrible idea. I appreciate you bringing it up.
The idea. You should start a Twitter poll on that one, Natalie. How about that?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's like a Kramer idea.
It is a Kramer. Not thought out.
A pizza that you make your own pie.
People want to make their own pie. Yeah. Him and Poppy are in the fact. I thought he was going to come up with a solution to the actual problem. He just spun you the same story. Your problem with it was, what about at the end of the day? I thought he was going to say, they're going to have these electronic lockers, and you just bring your phone up, and the locker opens up, and you walk right out. No, he didn't say that. What it was is, you still got to wait in line with a ticket, and you still got to wait to get your coat. Who would want to do that?
What are you putting on the pizza? Cucumber. No, I can't put a cucumber on a pizza.
Poppy wasn't having it.
Oh, I'm going to make something really special for you and my Audrey.
After he didn't wash his hands. Poppy's nasty.
All right, 616-320-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:45 on the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. We've been all around today trying to have some fun. I just had like a million things to bring up today. I read a story where the in Center City, or not Center City, but in parts of the city, ice cream trucks are floating around enticing kids to come up and buy ice cream.
Now, why would you do that?
Big crowds.
And why would you do that?
There's people are irresponsible out there. They're just not adhering to what we're trying to do.
Now, there may be a way for you to park your truck.
Yeah.
You have a mask or whatever. Not drive. It's about park it at one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Have people have a line in which, I don't know, line something up. Like, you get out the truck, you make people be 6 feet apart. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you take customers one at a time, because then that's like going to a store. But when you ask a mob to come by driving, that to me is irresponsible. You can still make money and be safe if you're selling food or a snack.
Well, yeah. And the reflex is once you hear that noise,
right,
you got to run.
Right.
Because if Mr. Softy leaves your block, that's it. So,
right.
So yeah, they should probably be stationary.
Stationary. Go to a neighborhood, be in one spot, and then it's up to the person, the driver, have cones, have something, and you got to make sure they're 6 feet apart.
Yeah, the driver should be out there. All due respect.
He's got to make a living.
I understand, but he can't. You can't make a living right now with a truck encouraging people to congregate. Can't do it. It's not right.
Well, that's the case. You would store close every 7-Eleven. Like, he's just a moving 7-Eleven. If you're parked, you're just 7-Eleven. If you're parked.
No, because in 7-Eleven, you can space one at a time. An ice cream truck is not going to be spaced. The kids are going to congregate together. It's like,
well, the kids
family's
should be outside.
The parents are going to be with them. It's not, no. You're encouraging bad behavior.
Yeah, I think if you're 6 feet apart,
it's just like,
it's the same as the grocery store. It's better than the grocery store.
Then how come pick-up basketball games are no good?
Because you're
not
touching each
apart.
Other.
What do you mean? Yeah, you're not 6 feet apart in basketball.
How are people going to try and get their ice cream? How are they going to adhere to the 6 feet apart rule?
You put cones down, and that's the line. 6 feet apart, yeah.
So you got Mr. Softy guys going to set that to cones?
Yeah, you have to go, yes, you park.
He's going to so he pulls over.
He's got
right,
to park.
Which call, and mass people
no,
come out. Hold up, we got to put the cones.
You do not turn the thing on. You don't have to drive with that on. You don't turn that thing on until you have your parked apparatus stuff set up. Uh-huh. Then you turn it on. You don't just turn it on, drive it, and get to a parked spot. That's irresponsible.
All right.
You park first, then you get your cones set up, and then you turn it on.
I was watching this. I'm so desperate. I'm throwing everything on, right? So I started to watch that All-American thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, I need a little sports. Maybe this is like Remember the Titans.
Is it any good?
Well, here's the premise is.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so the premise is a kid from Crenshaw, his mother wants him to get out of the neighborhood. And he goes, and Tay Diggs is the coach at Beverly Hills High, and he's going to get fired unless he's in a winning season. So he recruits the kid. And the kid's kicking and screaming because he doesn't want to leave Crenshaw. But finally, the mother convinces him, and he goes. And then eventually he has to move in with the family because he was coming back every night. He was taking the bus to Beverly Hills and coming back to
all
Crenshaw.
All the way back to Crenshaw.
Right, so finally it evolves where he's living now with the family. Now, the family is this prissy Beverly Hills family.
Mm-hmm.
They have these beautiful children, and everybody that goes to Beverly Hills High is beautiful. And Tay Diggs, who was a Crenshaw guy, is in this, I'm talking about a mansion.
Yeah.
This dude, he's the coach of Beverly Hills High.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what the hell is this? What is he making to be a coach at Beverly Hills High? $60,000?
Well, it's more than that.
Well, whatever it is, it's not enough to be in a mansion. So, like, I'm going, it's ridiculous. Right? So I'm going, like, it is totally ridiculous to see it. Like, I'm 6 episodes in. I'm going, how's this guy doing this? You know, he's a coach. So it leaks out little by little that he had, like, a cup of coffee in the NFL, which still isn't enough money to have him live in this mansion. And then the 8th episode, finally, the wife, it's revealed she's an attorney.
Well,
now, don't you have to make those parameters clear? You're like 8 episodes in,
only
thing I'm thinking about is Tay Diggs can't afford this.
That's only for you. Other people are just watching the show, man. Like, you're the one who's doing that. Other people are like, all right.
I can't get past stuff that doesn't make sense.
But see, you should have thought about that first. You should have asked, what does she do? You see, that's a way we can all get better.
Nobody knows what she does. She's right. Just a beautiful blonde woman who's there, and she just looks like a trophy wife for the guy.
But instead, she's the one making the money. Like Giselle with Tom. You think Tom Brady, he's poor compared to her.
The son is driving this sports car red-ass convertibles. I'm going, what's this?
Got money. She got money.
Oh, man. You got to set that tone so you understand it. You don't have to wait until the 8th episode to find out that maybe they have some money because she's a lawyer.
I bet you're the only one that was worried about that.
I bet you the people that watched that show asked the same question I did. It's ridiculous, this show.
Well, I'm sure it's a ridiculous show.
I haven't even gotten to the football action yet. The kid's going there so he can get to a college and be a computer. He hasn't even done anything in a game yet.
Well, he'll do something.
He's only got like 4 games left. It's a senior season.
And he hasn't played well?
He fumbled the last game. It blew the game. I'm going, wait, where's this kid going?
He's not going.
It's going to Joe Westfield.
I won't see him no more.
Joe, you're 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Joe?
What's up, Mike? What's up, Ty and Ellie? I was talking about interesting. The subject you were talking about Brady and what's going on in the Philadelphia homicide thing.
Mm-hmm.
First with Brady, man, I think he did want to go to OTAs. And I think, like you said, he's a pussy chick. I think he came like, you old man, you done won everything. You know what I'm saying? If you don't tell me you can't. And I think you agree. Like, I think it was one of those situations where you said, you know what, you're right. And that's just it. You know what I mean? I think she told him not to go, and he didn't go. And
I agree with you. I think that she was pulling brat rank.
On him,
right? Now, that doesn't apply to everybody. Everybody can't pull brat rank. When it comes to her and his status in the game, brat rank is perfectly normal to me.
She got 2 kids, too. She's been raising them all day.
She ain't raising them. You know what I mean? What do you think she's doing? You actually think that she's like mom of the year?
I think nowadays, I think the money, I don't believe all that extra super nanny stuff. I think they really.
You do, huh?
Yeah,
I bet you I walk in that house, I would trip over people working for them.
Yeah, but I'm like, Tom Brady's still a guy. Like, hold on, where my kids at?
You're talking about like a $100 million family.
Know,
they're going to do everything themselves?
She's probably used to that.
Uh-huh. She's home baking cookies.
No. But I think it was a good decision by him. You're right. You know what I mean? And I think about those murder things. In the 80s, a lot of people got to realize them. You know, they were, you know, a lot of women were addicted to crack addicts and things. They were, you know, addicted to drugs and crack. That was the height of the crack era. And people, you know, people stereotype of a crack woman is a burnt out old woman. But, you know, a lot of these women were in their 20s, their 30s. Mike, I lived in a neighborhood where I watched weird people come through my neighborhood and pick up women all day, every day. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of that stuff is not even documented. Like, I mean, they find people in houses, and I see people drive off and nobody ever see them. Like, did they ever come back and things like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's more relevant than you think. But in those days, they got to expect so many people because you pull up to any corner with $10 and the women was getting in. That crack era was just so heavy.
Yeah, I got you.
It was a shame.
I got you. All right, man. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. On the other side of 5 o'clock hour, we get a guy who says he was Gary Heidnik's neighbor. I want to hear that. I want to hear these stories because if he was, then he was affected by him playing the rock music all the time and all that stuff. I want to hear that story from Andrew. He's coming up. 5 o'clock hours ahead on the Mike Misnelli Show. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.